Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. As we look at what is going on around the world, whatever we are doing, don't lose sight that we are expecting the coming of the Lord. Don't lose sight of it. No matter what you are struggling to attain, to achieve, don't be so distracted by your problems or by ambitions until you lose focus. That no matter what, that one of these days, this whole world systems will end. And I'm a believer of this Bible. When I argue with people who are unbelievers concerning the things of God, like I argued one time with one Ekanka brother, and I told him before we go ahead, do you believe this Bible? And he said, short of what you know about Bible, then I say, what is the basis then for our argument? What are we going to use to solve the argument between you and I? So let everybody go his own way. That's the truth. I believe this Bible. And I believe that every prophecy here will come to pass. Amen. Now, I had cause to argue with a very religious in-law of mine some years back, who gathered people to be praying for me, that since I converted, I'm believing error, following the ministry of William Branham. And they are doing vigil for me, so that I will come back from my error. And I met him one day and I told him, do you believe every prophecy in the Bible will come to pass? He said, yes. I said, Malachi chapter 4. Verses 5 and 6. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. I said, do you believe that prophecy will come to pass? He said, yes. I said, when it comes to pass, will you know? How will you know it is fulfilled? Praise the Lord. The greatest thing that happened to me on earth in my life is that God did not just let me be a religious person, but He led me to see the message of my day. That's the greatest thing that has happened to me. That He made me to see the ministry of William Branham. That's what gave me a bearing. A lot of us, just what is wrong with us is just religion. Religion, no revelation. Just religion. If not, if you give your life to Christ and this Bible is the basis, foundation for the Christian faith, and you read this Bible, if you are reading it with your head correct, you will ask questions. You ask questions. Because there are things that are going on in Christianity today that this Bible is against, yet it is promoted and glorified. So you should ask questions. And when I gave my life to Christ, I was asking questions. One question you will first and foremost ask is, one Bible, when did Christianity get fragmented into the denominations we have today? What happened? If you are sincere and you are studying to know God, not just a religious person, that is number one question you will ask. Why are we all holding one Bible, yet I am Assemblies of God, I am a Catholic, and yet there is no Catholic in the Bible. There is no Bride Assembly in the Bible. There is no Choosing in the Bible. There is no Foursquare in the Bible. There is no Anglican in the Bible. When did we become all these names? You should ask. That's the truth now. But you don't ask such questions because you don't feel, well, you believe that those who are there, they should know better. They were there years before I came in. They cannot be wrong. Let me follow them. Especially to the fact that they even create an impression that they are the authorities by the titles they bear. His holiness, His preeminence, His grace. Archbishop. Superintendent. General superintendent. General overseer. Reverend. Reverend Doctor. Hallelujah. So you believe that because, you know, they bear such names, somebody who has doctorate degree in theology, he must be correct, so you follow. But if you are asking, you will have asked, when did we begin to have all these titles? We didn't see it in the Bible. When did it start? How did it come about? When did we start having husband and wife ministry? Where is it in the Bible? No, it's true. Hallelujah. No, it's true now. And all these questions, the answers are in this Bible. The answers are in this Bible. And I was asking all these questions myself. Because when I gave my life to Christ, I wanted to know God. I wanted to know this Jesus. And I wanted to know the Bible. And as I read them, I remember, he who seeks will find. Amen. God, in His infinite mercy, He made me to get the answers only through the ministry of that man, William Marion Braham. Only through that ministry, I answered it. I told you one time that where I gave my life to Christ, there was a young man that used to come to us to preach to us. He will vibrate when he's preaching. My, we loved him. Very charismatic. He will preach. He will nearly break this one when he's emphasizing. He will sweat and speak in tongue and rap and mesmerize all of us. And we shall be looking, kind, this man. Very anointed. But he came to me and duped me. And when I discovered he was a dupe, I said, how can somebody be anointed like this and still be a dupe? It was William Branham. What message he preached, the anointed ones at the end time, that made me understand that one. It settled my mind. That man, amen. And before you know what, they ganged up and covered that ministry with all manner of things. Things like those they respect were saying, like what Dr. Lukoya of MFM was saying in his book, that William Branham died a drunkard. He told the millions of people following him that, and he wrote it in a book. I have the book. That William Branham died a drunkard, and that when he had that accident, that they did a post-mortem of his blood and they found a lot of alcohol in his blood. If I am to execute what is in my mind, and I never leave Ayeto, I will go to court and insist that he produce that autopsy report. The autopsy that he said was done, and there was a lot of blood in his, alcohol in his blood. How can a respected man of God lie like that? He knows the truth. But because what William Branham preached is punching what they are doing. Nothing more than that. People using the Bible and commercializing it. and doing all that they are doing, running without a message. I hear masses. Praise the Lord. William Branham ministry fulfilled the last prophecy in the last book of the Old Testament, in the last chapter, in the last two verses of the Old Testament. He is the ministry that fulfilled it. If you say he's not the one, then show us who fulfilled it. And we will follow you. Why I am making that reference is because our time is short. And more importantly, God has been giving us signs here and here, here and here. Those of you who were here on Sunday and on Tuesday, you saw that testimony of a brother and a sister that got pregnant for 7 years. Now everything about that baby was 777. Pregnant 7 years. Was in the womb of the woman, of the mother, 7 years. 7 days to their wedding anniversary, the baby was delivered. That baby was dedicated. During the dedication, among the 14 children that came, that baby was number 7. And during the period of the pregnancy, when eventually the doctors now were able to see that child, because they made sure that that baby was not seen, only the mother was feeling the baby. When the baby was now revealed through scar and ready to begin to grow again, 7 people died. And that baby was dedicated in the 7th month of the year, July. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And where was the baby dedicated? This ministry is a ministry that is brought forth under the voice of the 7th angel. And the ministry of the 7th angel is in the 7th verse of Revelation chapter 10. In the days of the voice of the 7th angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. Rounded up. And very interestingly, that baby was dedicated or given birth to in the year 2014. Add it, 2 plus 0 plus 1 plus 4 is 7. Everything, 7, 7, 7, 7. To me, it is a sign. And remember that when the gospel came to the Gentiles, it is broken into 7 church ages. And we are now in the last church age, the 7th church age, known as the Laodicean church age. That lets you know that all those who are playing with their Christianity and playing church, you better be careful. We are watching Israel. We are watching Israel. Israel is God's timepiece. When they finish with us, it's going back to the Jews. The Jews are getting ready, fulfilling one by one prophecies concerning them in the promised land. And so we are not watching blood moon. I told you the other time. No. There are things that the bride is watching out for. When you come here, open your ears. Israel is what we are watching. Every day we are watching to see what next. Because Ezekiel chapter 38 and chapter 39 will fulfill before we go in the rapture. There will be a war that Russia will lead these Arab people against Jerusalem, against Israel. That is the war. The king of the north there, in Ezekiel 38 and chapter 39, is Russia. And you know that they have the sympathy. The Arab world have the sympathy of Russia. And now the West, they are at loggerhead now with Russia. The West, America, Europe, they are putting one sanction or the other, sanction or the other. But they are treading carefully because he's also a superpower. Uh-huh. The focal point is Jerusalem. That place where Solomon built that temple is where the Dome of the Rock is situated now. And a mosque is there. And then the Muslim world says that is their second most holy site after the Kaaba in Mecca. So if you go there, the whole Arab will fight you. But my Bible tells me, amen, the temple will be built back again on that place. That means there will be a battle. Every inch of land in the promised land that Israel occupied, it was with battle. And they have come there and they are ready to fight. They don't care. The whole world, they are screaming, what are they doing? They don't care. Amen. Nations are breaking. Israel's awaking. The sign that the prophet foretold. The Gentile is numbered with hallows and combat. Eternity soon will unfold. Hallelujah! The day of redemption is near. His heart are failing from fear. Be filled with a spirit. Your lamp streamed and clear. Look up, your redemption. In these, the closing days of time, what joy that glorious hope affords. The soul of wondrous truth sublime. Yes, sir. Oh, he shall reign, King of kings, Lord of lords. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. We are coming soon. Oh, it may be tomorrow. It may be. Meet a faithful Lord. This hope we cherish not in vain, but we comfort one another by His word. Oh, hallelujah! He's coming soon. He's coming soon. Very soon. Very soon. We welcome His return. It may be more, it may be night. We may come. Chance, come, come. Let them hear that bell. Don't you hear the bell now ringing? Don't you hear the angels singing? It's a blessing. The power of forever, just beyond the sky. When the ring, the glory bells for you and me,
There is a land beyond the river, that we call a sweet forever, and we only wish that shall my baby creep.
Hey!
One by one, we gave the potter, and we gave the immortal. When I ring the baby bell for you. Don't you hear the bells ringing?
Don't you hear the angels singing?
It's a glory, hallelujah, jubilee.
In the
fire of sweet forever, don't you hear the shining
thunder?
When I ring the baby bell,
say it again.
Don't you hear?
Don't you hear?
Far of sweet,
don't
be a weathery.
How many sisters? Let me hear the sisters. Sisters,
don't you hear saying?
Let me hear the brothers.
Oh, don't you hear, brother? Don't you
everybody.
Oh, don't you hear?
Don't you hear the bells now ringing? Don't you hear the angels singing? It's the glory, hallelujah.
My hope, I'm just a passing. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Now angels are me, of heaven's above, and I can be loved in this world.
Everybody now,
oh. Angels spoke of me from heaven's abode, and I can feel a way. I will see Jesus someday, sometime. I will see Jesus. I will see Jesus one day. I will see Jesus one
day.
I will see Jesus one day. One day. I will see Jesus one day.
Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, see you in the rapture. Everybody, tell everybody around you, see you in the rapture.
If we never meet again, then this earth, my precious friend, if to God you have been true, I live above all.
I will see you in the rapture. Everybody now. Oh, see you in the rapture.
I will see you in the rapture.
I will see you
as a victim in the air.
To my loved one, let me say something to you.
To my loved one, let me say,
there will surely come a day when the Lord will come again and catch his bride away. So get ready now to meet him, and with hallelujah greeting, I will see you in the rapture someday. Everybody now. Oh,
see you in the rapture. I will see you in the rapture.
I will see you at the meeting in the air.
There will I bless the Savior who lives my head forever.
I will see you
in the rapture.
Hallelujah. Tell everybody, see you in the rapture and sit down. See you in the rapture. See you in the rapture. Tell them and sit down. Some people say their ministry now to cast out devils. My ministry is to prepare you for the rapture. This heaven we must go. How many people want to go? Thank you. If you want to go, then listen to me very well. Amen. The last prophet to the church age is William Marion Branham. He made a boast. He said, I have given over 200,000 visions and prophecies. He said, show me one that has failed. He boasted. He said, show me one that has failed. Rick Jonah, the writer that wrote that book, The Final Quest. How many of you have seen that book? Thank you. God showed him a revelation of the position that William Branham was now occupying. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. When such a man, a prophet that boasts like that, makes such a statement, we take it very seriously. Why? Because the word of the Lord always comes to the prophet. And God will not do anything except he has revealed it to his servant, the prophet. And let me read something that William Branham spoke. The Lord gave, let me read it. In a message he preached, he titled An Exposition of the Seven Church Ages. On page 321 of that book, he said, in June 1933, William Branham, for those who are hearing his name for the first time, he died in 1965. But in this age, of this Pentecostal age that we are in, there is no man that God has used in the realm that he has used William Branham. In anointing, miracles, signs and wonders, which all the denominational jokers, including Olukoya, has acknowledged. Including what Robert Lyer done in his book titled God's General has acknowledged, despite all the nonsense he added on top. They all, including Apostle Johnson Suleiman. Johnson Suleiman spoke his own. How God used that man beyond any realm of. That's the only man that will stand at his ministry, and the angel will stand by the side, and God will allow the people to see the angel. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All this while they are impersonating up and down, it's William Branham that started discernment that can call your name, call your address, call your sickness. It started with him. God used it so much until some people began to think that, like, God came as Emmanuel in Christ Jesus, that Jesus has come again and is hiding himself. They began to say William Branham was God. Until today, there are some people that are baptized in the name of William Branham. And there are some people that said, now that William Branham has come, they don't need the Bible again. The confusion that came from the way God vindicated him. Praise God. Now, in 1933, this is what he said. Very, very important. The Lord Jesus spoke to me and said that the coming of the Lord was drawing nigh, but that before he came, seven major events will transpire. So if there is anybody that believe in that man's ministry, you should watch these seven things closely. Because when the Bible says, when the saints shall march to heaven with Jesus as their, when he says, some people say, oh no, had I known. Do you think it is prostitute that will sing that song? Do you think it's prostitute? I'm robber, ritual killer. There are people looking at me now. Because you had it, but you didn't take it seriously. You are the one that will say, hey! Oh no, had I known. But then it will be too late. Because mercy is on now. When mercy is over, you cannot call him back. So listen carefully. I wrote them all down, and that morning I gave for the revelation of the Lord. The first vision was that Mussolini will invade Ethiopia, and that nation will fall at his steps. That vision surely did cause some repercussions, and so we are very angry. When I said it, I will not believe it. But it happened that way. He just walked in there with his modern arms and took over. The natives didn't have a chance. But the vision also said that Mussolini will come to a horrible end with his own people turning on him. That came to pass just exactly as it was said. Number one, don't pass. The next vision foretold that an Austrian by the name of Adolf Hitler, even that name was given before Hitler came up, by the name of Adolf Hitler, will rise up as a dictator over Germany, and that he will draw the world into war. It showed the Siegfried line and how our troops will have a terrible time to overcome it. Then it showed that Hitler will come to a mysterious end. Did it not happen? He said it before anybody knew anybody called Hitler a prophet to this generation. The third vision, vision number three, he said that these seven things will come to pass before the Lord will come. Two, don't pass now as a reader. Number three, the third vision was in the realm of world politics. For it showed me that there will be three great isms. That is, fascism, Nazism, and communism. But that the first two will be swallowed up into the third. That is, fascism and Nazism will be swallowed up by communism. The voice admonished, watch Russia. Watch Russia. Keep your eye on the king of the north. And the king of the north is in Ezekiel chapter 38. In chapter 39, he said, watch Russia, watch Russia. While he said communism, praise the Lord, that fascism and Nazism will fizzle out into communism. But we know where. He didn't tell us that communism will continue. He said the vision told him, say, watch Russia. Watch Russia. Communism is over, but is Russia not standing today? Okay. Vision number four. The fourth vision showed the great advances in science that will come after the Second World War. It was headed up in a vision of a plastic bubble-topped car that was running down beautiful highways under remote control, so that people appeared seated in this car without a steering wheel, and they were playing some sort of a game to amuse themselves. And so during the week, when I was watching the news in Al Jazeera, and they were busy talking about this vehicle that they have been testing, that will be on the road and there will be no steering and there will be no driver. They just put the vehicle there, it will be driving by itself. No driver, nothing. Can we just take a look at the screen?
Cameras film images around the car to help identify roads to follow and objects which need to be avoided. GPS is also used to track exactly where the car is and where it's going. It's high tech, all right, but is it safe?
I'm a cyclist. So.
And you guys have a tough time as it is?
Exactly. I've been knocked over twice since I've been here. So.
So you've been knocked over twice as a cyclist?
Yeah.
But you would still rather a human being was behind the wheel than a machine?
Yes. Can you legislate for other cars pulling out in front of it that quickly, and will it be able to react and think and respond in the same way that we do?
This is new generation and everything we have to accept.
Privacy is another concern. Cars with their own IP addresses mean journeys can be tracked, monitored, potentially hacked. Technology and the traditional way are at a crossroads. But which direction does the future lie in? Finn Lavelle, Al Jazeera, London.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. William Branham saw this in 1933. They are producing the vehicles. The only thing they are waiting for is just good roads. They are testing them. Car without driver. Technology. He said it will happen before the rapture will strike. That was vision number four.